What's the most important thing that you can do to become more charitable? We'll talk about that and look at the Sunday Mass readings on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned because it's coming right up. Welcome to the show. I've been waiting for you. My name is Gary Zimak. Come on in, make yourself comfortable. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes. So glad you could stop by. Quick reminder, total consecration to Jesus through Mary begins on this program September the 4th. That's when we officially kick off the 33-day preparation period. The night before, September the 3rd, we're going to chat a little bit about a total consecration and where we are headed in the upcoming 33 days. And also, you might want to check out, I did a program, I'm going to put it in, it will be highlighted on my Blog Talk Radio page, about total consecration. We did that a couple nights ago, talking about the general idea of what is total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I'm very excited that my friend Kevin Knight put up a post about, he put a link to my announcement of total consecration on his new Advent site, which is a great boost. We've got lots of people signing up, and I'm really happy about that. If you haven't signed up for Total Consecration, please make it a point to do so. The reason I'm asking for email addresses is so that I can send out an email if necessary. And I also want to keep track of how many people are doing it with us this year. I didn't do that last year. And it's good to know because I know that we've taken over 2,000 people through Total Consecration in the past. I want those numbers to keep increasing. If you've already made your Total Consecration, I invite you to renew it with us. We'll be using Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory, on the program, and you can get yourself a copy of it at a very good price by visiting my friends Tony Mullen and Ray Mooney at myconsecration.org. Check their site out and get yourself a free copy. Well, I think they're asking for a $4 donation for the book if you don't have it already. Any questions about total consecration, let me know, Gary@followingthetruth.com. You know I'm a believer. This will be the fifth year that we're doing it on the program. I've renewed my consecration 4 times, and I plan to do it again this year. So I'm going to be in there with you. We'll do it together, and it is a great way to get closer to Jesus. Personally, I believe it's the best way that we could get close to Jesus. You're going to grow really close to him by making your total consecration to Jesus through Mary. On today's program, we're going to be looking at some good stuff. You know, I was having this conversation with my wife, Eileen, before the program started. This idea of being charitable to people when we might not really feel like it. It's not the easiest thing. It really isn't. It's very easy to be nice to people who are nice to us. But when we do that, we don't grow in virtue. We don't grow in virtue when we do that. We grow in virtue when we're nice to people who are not nice to us. And again, that's where the challenge comes in. We'll talk today about the one thing that we can do to really help ourselves to be charitable. And it's a no-brainer. It's something really obvious, and it's something that can easily be forgotten. We will also, in a few minutes, look at the Mass readings for Sunday of the 21st week in Ordinary Time. We're going through the church year now. Just to put it into perspective, there were 34 weeks in Ordinary Time. We have 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time, and then the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. That rounds out the church year right before we begin Advent. But this puts it into perspective. We're at week 21. We've got 34 weeks, so we're a little over halfway to the end of the liturgical year. And then what happens? We start over again in Advent. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We have got some really good readings, and as I was looking over these readings before the program, it made me realize that we've got to make a choice in life. That's what these readings are all about, and the choice is going to have to be made by you, and it's going to have to be made by me. It's a choice about who we will serve, if that gives you any clue. So we'll chat about that, and it's something that we really have to address on a daily basis. It's something that we can't ignore. We've got a choice to make. Sometimes the choice is easier than others, but it is a choice that has to be made. So that's what's coming up on the program today. Let's see, do I have any news? Well, total consecration is the biggest news, but that's really all I can think of. I do want to let you know that if you would like me to speak at your parish, I would love to do that. Please let me know. I'm working on my calendar for next year, but I have some openings for this year. If you want to set something up, please let me know. Gary at followingthetruth.com is the place to find me. That's my email address, but you can also look on the website, followingthetruth.com, to find out more information about my work, the talks that I give, some endorsements, see some samples. And we are working on some CDs. In the very near future, I'll have 5 CDs of different talks that I give. They will be available for sale, so keep that in mind. I'll let you know as soon as we get them printed. I finally was able to get good quality recordings of 5 of the talks that I do. And also, in December, we're going to be filming a parish mission that I'm giving in Louisiana. So stay tuned for that. We'll have it as a DVD. And lots of good stuff coming up in the near future. Please keep me in your prayers as we go forward, as I go forward to proclaim the good news. I've got to do more of it. There is much need for the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. But it's not only my job, it's your job too. We might do it in a different way, but we all have to share this good news because the world's a dark place. The world is filled with people who are desperately searching for Christ, even though they might not realize that Christ is the answer to their problems. So you and I have to get out there and let them know that. All right, so let's do it. You can tell I'm fired up today. It's Friday. I love this Friday doubleheader. We've got lots of great stuff that we talk about every Friday. The beverage du jour, here we go. Little Mystic Monk Decaf Coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever drink. If you want to find out more about Mystic Monk Coffee, look at followingthetruth.com and click on the Mystic Monk image. You know I'm a big coffee fan, and I'm a big believer in the great coffee produced by the Carmelite monks in Cody, Wyoming, under the name of Mystic Monk Coffee. Really, really good stuff. Get yourself some today. You'll help yourself out by getting good coffee. You'll help the monks out because this is how they support themselves. And you'll help me out, too, when you buy it through my website. That helps me to continue being on the air here, which I really want to do. But you know the story. I need help in order to keep the program on the air. So this is one of the ways that you can help me stay on the air. All right? Ready to get started? Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day to love you, to know you, to serve you. Please help us, Father. Help us as we journey on the road which will one day lead to eternal life in heaven. Help us if we stray from the road. Sometimes we slip up and make mistakes. We ask you to help us to continue on that road at all times. Father, we ask you to help those who are anxious, those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with addictions, those who are dealing with financial difficulties, religious persecution, extreme weather, so many problems in the world. We ask you to help them, bring them closer to you, allow them to overcome whatever obstacle that they may be facing in their lives. Father, I ask you to use me this day to proclaim your message. Help me to step aside so that your message can come forth from my lips and using my voice. And help us open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message, even when it's a difficult one. Father, we present to you all of our own personal needs, intentions, things that distract us. We give them to you, and we ask you to help us with them. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I really look forward to spending this time with you each night. It's really great to hang out with a good friend such as yourself. And I'm really not kidding about this. I really feel your presence when we do this show. And I look at the numbers, and I'm very grateful that so many people listen to this program. And I never thought it would amount to this, but we are now in our fifth year of doing this program on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I can. So there, whether you like it or not. But it really makes it cool that I don't have to do it by myself, that you're right here with me. And you know the deal, there's always a room, there's always a chair at my table for you. I save you a chair every night. And when you don't show up, I get a little lonely. So I'm glad you're here tonight. My name is Gary Zimak, and we do this program every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen on blogtalkradio.com, you can listen directly on followingthetruth.com, or you can download the podcast in iTunes. All of them are free of charge, and however it works for you, that's wonderful. And if you're a new listener to the program, I want to welcome you and let you know that I really appreciate the fact that you're here, and I hope you stick around. We are getting some new listeners now. The Total Consecration is about to start, and it's a privilege to be able to do that with you, to be able to do Total Consecration with you. Let's take a look at the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass. This is the 21st week in Ordinary Time. There is a choice that we have to make in life. Let's talk about that. The first reading is from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. Joshua gathered together all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, summoning their elders, their leaders, their judges, and their officers. When they stood in ranks before God, Joshua addressed all the people, "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." But the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of a state of slavery. He performed those great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our earth entire journey. And among the peoples through whom we passed, therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Now here you go. This is the decision, I'm sure you figured that out, is in our lives, who will we serve? Will we serve the Lord? Or will we serve another god? Now, most of us, when we hear that idea of serving another god, we're going to say, of course we won't do that. But whenever we serve the god, small g, of comfort, when we serve the god of material possessions, when we serve the god of prestige, when we serve the god of any number of things, we are really serving the god of material things, whatever they may be, instead of the one true God. That's a problem, and this is a decision we have to make. So how do we do it? Take a look at what the people did. They looked back. They recognized the fact that the Lord, the one true God, brought them from the land of Egypt. Through his providence, he watched out for them so that they were able to reach the promised land, and they acknowledged him. Now, in the future, they would slip many times. They'd backslide. So do we. We want to keep our eyes focused and ask ourselves every day, am I truly serving the Lord, the one true God, or am I serving any number of other gods? That's a question we have to ask ourselves every day. And if you're like me, there are going to be days when you realize, well, I didn't do a good job today. That's okay. Just make it a point to get back on track, ask the Lord for help, go to confession if necessary, and then continue on. But it's something we want to constantly ask ourselves. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 34. "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord has eyes for the just and ears for their cry. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. Many are the troubles of the just one, but out of them all the Lord delivers him. He watches over his bones, not one of them shall be broken." Only the Lord our God can help us with our problems, with our needs, and with getting us to heaven. There is only one God. He's the one. And we just have to keep our sights on Him. He will provide what we need. But we have to have that contact with Him. How often? Every day. If we do that, we will be in good shape, provided we cooperate with the grace that He gives us. Now let's take a look at the second reading. It's a letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 21 through 32. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church. He himself, the Savior of the body, as the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such things, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. Now look, this is funny because I look at this reading, there are two different readings, two versions of this reading that you could hear on Sunday. We have a long version, which is the one that I read, or the short version. Guess what's missing from the short version? You got it. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife. Because in today's world, those lines could offend some people. But I know that it's not going to bother you because I know that you're bigger than that. As a husband, let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about what this really means. And this is the point that we often miss when we hear this passage, right? What do? We nudge our wives, we nudge our husbands, and we ignore what's really happening here. As a husband, you know what my job is? My job is not only to be responsible for my family, including my wife, to lead her. We're certainly equal, there's no doubt about that. But my job is to do what I can to not only provide for the material needs of my family, but to provide for their spiritual needs. And I must be willing, and it says it right here, to give up my life for my wife and for my children. That's what the way Christ loved his church. That's how tough it is. That's how serious it is. And if any man thinks that he's going to just boss his wife around because it says it in the Bible about anything and he's the boss and he can control her, then that person has it completely wrong. That's not what this is about at all. There's no way that we can justify being some sort of a king in our house. That's not what this reading's about. And I really believe that you understand that. I just have to say that because there's some people that go crazy when they hear this. This is the kick in the pants that guys like me need. That's what this reading's all about. It reminds me that even though it's not easy sometimes, I got to give my life for my family. And that's my job. There's a lot of responsibility there. But that's my job as a husband and a father. And for any man that needs help, St. Joseph is the guy to turn to. St. Joseph can really help us, those of us who are husbands and fathers. And we have to work together, husbands, wives, and children, with their children, as a team, to sometimes not say things that are going to cause problems, you know that? And learn to be charitable with our comments. Now, that's hard for me sometimes. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But that's all part of it. And that's what we're called to do. Really, we're called as spouses to die to self so that my main goal is to provide for my wife and my children. My wife's main goal is to provide for my needs and the children's needs. So it really does work out. But we're not called to be selfish. We're called to be selfless. That's what this reading is all about. The gospel is John chapter 6, verses 60 through 69. We're still making our way through what's known as the Bread of Life discourse. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the ones who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." And there you go. That's the choice that we have to make. We look at the first reading. We look at the gospel. We look at the responsorial psalm, "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord." Are you willing to commit to serving the Lord, even though it requires you to give up your life? I mean, Jesus said it, St. Paul alludes to it in the second reading, to give up your life, to serve those around you, and to serve the Lord. That's the call. That's what we are called to do. We're not going to be able to do that without the Lord's help, because we're too selfish for that. That's our fallen human nature. We have a problem with that. But with God's help, all things are possible. And that is what we are called to do. So I ask you that tonight. We need to make that decision. Are we called to serve? We are called to serve the Lord. Are we going to do it? If we are struggling, the church offers us this great devotion known as total consecration to Jesus through Mary to help us to be able to get back on track. It is such a great help to have the Blessed Mother taking us by the hand and leading us to her Son Jesus. If you have questions, please let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Good readings, aren't they? I just get fired up when I read from sacred scripture. Let us take a look now at The Hidden Power of Kindness, is a book by Father Lawrence Lovosik. We do this every Friday on the show. I'm reading from the original version of the book. Hidden Power of Kindness is an abridged version. The book that I'm reading from is called Kindness, and it was published in 1961. This is the full text of the book. Great book. If you ever can find a used copy somewhere, I really recommend it. But The Hidden Power of Kindness, which is the abridged version, is also really good. There's just some extra material in here. Today I want to talk about prayerfulness and charity. What's the one best thing that you can do to help yourself become more charitable? You got it. Prayer. "Not by a single step can you approach nearer to the ideal of charity unless God helps you with His grace. There is no easy shortcut to the perfect preservation of peace in human relationships. This comes about by the practice of patience and charity. These virtues grow only as the result of continuous effort, and especially of the grace of God. Only grace can transform a selfish, unloving being," that's us, I hate to say it, but that's us, "into a kind and loving one. The Divine Master said, 'A branch can bear no fruit of itself, that is, when it is not united with the vine. No more can you if you do not remain united with me. I am the vine,' Jesus said, 'you are the branches. One bears abundant fruit only when he and I are mutually united. Severed from me, you can do nothing.'" That's John 15, verses 4 and 5. "God is always ready to give grace and help to you and everyone else, to fill your own little world with the beauty and harmony of kindness. He delights in cooperating with you, inspiring you, and strengthening you with His grace through the sacraments and prayer, as you strive to bring out in yourself His features as perfectly as possible by the practice of kindness and unselfishness. Prayer is usually the best means of overcoming the sin of anger." Now let's pause and let's think about that. I really want you to remember that. Because if you're struggling with anger, this is what you need to remember. Prayer is the best means of overcoming the sin of anger, because it not only gives us time to calm down and think more clearly, but also obtains for us God's help to be patient and kind. Prayer, most basic form of self-encouragement, taps the boundless reservoir of God's power. You do not ask God to solve your problems for you. Instead, you ask Him to give you whatever it takes to solve them, since you must contribute your own share of initiative, resourcefulness, and determination. All right, now there's good stuff the Father's talking about here. I want to read a little bit more of it, then we'll summarize. Grace and help will not be forthcoming unless they are asked for by prayer. God never forces Himself on anyone. You show yourself anxious to accept His help when you are willing to kneel humbly and ask for it in prayer. The privilege of learning charity from God depends upon fervent prayer, but you must have an earnest goodwill to follow the inspirations of grace. Now, here's the misunderstanding that so many of us run into. When we want to overcome our anger, we'll sometimes pray, just take this away from me. Just change me, Lord, so I don't have to deal with this, so I can be a nicer person. But generally, that's not the way the Lord works. When it comes to acquiring virtue in our lives, we have to fight against this desire to commit some form of vice. So if I'm trying to become more patient, I'm going to have to, with the Lord's help, fight against my tendency to be angry. What He generally does, and this is usually the way the Lord operates, is that He gives you the grace, if you ask for it, to overcome or to deal with your anger. But you're still going to have to do your best. You're going to have to work at it. It's generally not something that is automatic. It would be a lot easier if it was automatic, but that's generally not the way it works. So please keep that in mind. God wants you to do something. He wants you to fight against your tendency to do the wrong thing. And even though we might want to just have it happen in a simpler way, He expects us to do what we can and always ask for His help. And I love how Father said, God's not going to force Himself on us. We need to ask for the grace to do better. Okay. You can attain solid virtue only when your good works are rooted in the grace of God and fructified by it. Boy, Father uses some big words here. Your soul makes the greatest advance in the imitation of Christ when it is docile to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God helps you to realize more clearly His will regarding your thoughts and emotions, that your actions may become more like those of Christ. When He offers His help, you must be really willing to let Him help you. When He gives you His precious advice, it's your duty to follow it. Try to develop the habit of talking over your difficulties and aspirations relative to charity with God in prayer. Ask trustingly for the grace to do as He inspires you. Mention names and refer to details, which prudence would bid you suppress if you were conversing with human beings. Christ understands your sincerity with Him will be rewarded for clearer insight into the possibilities that lie within your reach. In other words, if you're having troubles being nice to John, tell that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I really want to strangle John, but I need your help. Would you please help me? And God will give you the grace. First of all, He's going to let you realize, hey, I'm not really being nice to John. I should probably be nicer. So then what do? Then you say, oh, you know what? Next time I see him, I'm going to bite my lip. Lord, please help me to remain quiet and not be nasty to John. And then if you're in the situation, you're going to find, if you're like me, that it is slightly easier because the Lord's helping you. And I say slightly because I don't want to kid you. I don't want to kid you into thinking that it's going to be really, really simple. You won't have to do anything. You're going to have to work at it. But that's how we acquire virtue in our lives, by fighting against the things that hold us back. But just don't forget to ask. And pray for John, who or whoever the person is you're having a hard time with. Pray for those who you struggle to be nice to. you start to do that and you ask for help, and you'll see it fall into place. We are out of time, believe it or not. Believe it or not, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in. God willing, we'll see you Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care.